Opportunity to share the word of God with you, and that is a special occasion for me because it wasn't planned this way, and I just pleasantly discovered he wasn't Robert, who was my senior, by the way, and I have to behave myself because normally when I was in the Irish Baptist College, the senior students will analyze your sermon and tell you how bad you did. So it was a pleasure that we had our paths have crossed many times in Northern Ireland, and it is by the providence of God we are able to come and see him and see how the Lord is using him. We always said Robert was a great preacher. That's why I remember him, and I am pleased to see how the Lord is using him here. I wanted to read for you from the Gospel of John, chapter 12. Verses 1 to 8, and a very well known story for you. I'll read it for you. Six days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. The poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." Let us ask the Lord to bless our meditation together. Let us pray together. Father, we once again humbly bow before you in the worthy name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we thank you for him. We thank you that he has willingly died for us and given us new life, a life worthy of living. And we thank you for your word, and we pray that you will watch over. You will bless these words to us, and help me, Lord, to be truthful and give me humble heart to share your word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Probably, brothers, you know this passage very well, and I wanted to encourage you to not to jump to the conclusion. Quite often, I think when we read the scripture, including myself, when we know the passage, we have already accomplished or understood the passage. So I wanted to encourage you to think afresh with me, and let us enter into this roughly about 2,000 years ago, what had happened and how that affects in our life even today. Now I wanted to set right before we going to look at that passage. There is another passage in the scripture, Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 50. There is a similar incident like this. But I want to tell you that is not the same situation. It's a different story, simply because in Luke's passage, this occasion was happened at Simon the Pharisee's house, whereas the Simon the leper and the expert teller, the other difference was, and the lady was a harlot, a prostitute. Here it was a different Mary. And then another incident, the expert tell us, that was happening in the place of in Galilee. But where at Bethany is in Judea. So I just wanted to tell you so we are not mixing up the different accounts, even though they are looking at similar scenario. Now I have called this passage a true love devotion to Jesus Christ, our Lord. A true worship. That is the passage I have just sort of given the title, but you can always change the way you want it. And I wanted to explore with you this story and learn from this story. Now, it is a story about a lady, isn't it? And quite often, I think in our century, quite contrary to the many people thinking, in the olden days, they had a great, particularly in the scriptures, the Lord gives a special place to ladies. And nowadays, skeptics and whatever the people like to think us, opposite of what we have in the scripture. Because nowadays, you know that, you know, they think Christians, particularly male-dominated Christians, they suppress women. But that is not the case. When you look at the scripture, Lord loved men and women in an amazing way, and it is another story before us. Now, the background to this story is of course, the chapter 11. The chapter 11, and we see the situation where Lord has to escape. They were trying to plot to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. In the chapter 11, verse 53, we read there, "So from that day, they made plans to put him to death." So there was a plot, was thickening, as it were. So Jesus has to go away from that part of the world. But then he's coming back to about a few days before his death. He's coming back to the same place, apparently. So 6 days before the Passover. I wanted you to think through that, because that's a very important remark what John was telling us. It was the time when Israelites looked back to their captivity and remembered how the Lord had delivered them from their bondage. That is the Passover time, right? That is the time they sacrificed a lamb, a kid, for the Lord, and they know very well, without the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness of sin, remission of sins. The irony is, here is the true Lamb of God they wanted to reject, and they have not seen. And here, the another lady, he sees the true Lamb of God who is going to be slain for our sins. That is the connection in which John quotes the little line, 6 days before the Passover. How often it is easy, people have, in the religion, they can miss the whole big point of Jesus, and they can have everything in their life. It's just like his people. He was there, and they were celebrating, and they were having sacrificing the lamb, but they missed the big point. Jesus was the lamb that was going to be slain for the sinners. So that is the background. And then we see that, of course, the Lord's friends gave him a meal, which was a very intrinsic part of Palestinian or Judean culture. Now, I live for a while in Mississippi. I was told that is the cradle of hospitality. I don't know, but probably you may disagree with it. But what I have discovered was interesting. They have their hospitality is not in their home, in restaurants. Now, it is quite amazing to me, because they are very kind people. Quite often we go to buffets and eat. But they have, for me, it was a strange thing. But the biblical understanding, and I believe wholeheartedly, I encourage you, hospitality begins at your home. And it is very important. And it is part of God's people. Always have done it. And this is their culture. And the Lord was invited. And he was given a very nice meal, possibly. And just imagine, there was two important guys. The scholars believe that Simon the leper was healed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Possibly. We don't have any evidence, but they believe he was healed by the Lord. And there was Lazarus. He was the talk of the town, right? And he just came back, and he was an amazing character. Probably people would have wanted to touch him and see whether he was the right guy or something like that. But, however, in this passage, you know, they are not the significant people. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, quite often, isn't it, our hearts are so wicked, we like to love the gift rather than the giver of that gift. And so here in this scenario, I believe here is a deliberate attempt of Apostle Paul to give us. It is Jesus is the important. It is not Lazarus. He is great as it may be, but it is the one who gave him the life is the life. And he is the one who is important. Then you look at another character. As usual, whenever we talk about Martha, we talk about a woman who is always willing to work and very capable woman. Maybe she is very good, like American woman, able to plan, have a diary and do things like, right? And she was willing to work hard, and she would run away and do things, and it wasn't even happening in her home. And she was in the neighbor's house, and she was there. She's an amazing person, and I think people like, we need people like them in our churches too. And then you see another character, it's Mary. And she was different from Martha. She was more quiet, one who took time and reflected on things more and did things quietly and determinatively for the Lord, isn't it? And she is not come across like a very bubbly, I don't know what was the how she was, but what we perceive from the scripture, she is different. Now, for me, it's amazing how Lord uses different personalities for His glory. Now, sometimes some people are very outgoing, right? You are able to talk and you are able to talk to anyone, but God uses them. Sometimes there are some people, they are very shy. They may not be able to do things the other person able to do, but how the Lord is interested in you is He uses both characters, different personality. So the church is made of different people. So, and He is willing. The only thing that we have to do is we have to be willing and learning from Him. So I encourage you in this passage, it touches my heart, how God, our Lord, is so interesting, and He is interested to work with a person who is always able to do things, the other one, or maybe much more quieter. But the one much more quieter did an amazing thing in this story. The important thing is, we need to be faithful in little things. And I think quite often, we miss doing things because we like to do big and bigger things. Especially in America, we find that everything is bigger. And probably Robert found out too, you know, even from peanut butter to everything is bigger than normally in Northern Ireland or in UK. So quite often I think we like to do bigger things and we are forgot to do the little things. But the Lord wants us to be faithful in whatever the gifts and talents that He has given to us. Not for us, for His glory and for His glory only. So I encourage you in this story, that is the lady, kind of lady that we are going to encounter. So in this party, you can imagine, roughly about at least 15 people, 12 of His disciples, the Lord Jesus, Lazarus, and Simon. It was quite a big party, if you like, you know. Then they had a lot of other people from the neighborhood, and they would have been arrived. So it was a busy place. And so here we are, in this story, I'm going to think about three points. That's what they taught me in the Irish Baptist College, 3 points. And let's look at it. What is the true love devotion is? First of all, it is costly. Secondly, it spreads the fragrance of life. Thirdly, it is appropriate. Christ deserves it. And I will come to that point. Christ deserves it. And it is true. He is the one that we should worship. And He is the one who is worthy of our true love devotion. First of all, it is costly. Look at and what happened here. You know, I believe if you are a Christian, especially in our day, it must cost you something. Now, let me tell you, if it doesn't cost you anything, I will humbly ask you, re-examine your Christian life. Are you really Christian? Because in this world, Lord will expect us to say things, something that we like most, or something it will cost us something if you are a Christian. So it is the Christian life is a love relationship between the Lord and His people. In verse 3, you know, I read it for you here. Just imagine, Mary comes into the scene. She suddenly comes into the scene, isn't it? And she comes there. And as you probably aware of the situation in Middle Eastern world, men sat differently, and the women sat in it more, normally they in the kitchen, right? Like in some of the churches, women normally, that's what happened in, even here, women in the kitchen and men are outside eating, right? It hasn't changed much. And so here in that situation, she comes into the scenario and she breaks her alabaster box or the oil and anoint him, and then began to anoint his feet, and then began to wipe his feet with his hair. You know, that was a very expensive thing to do. I was told that's 300 denarii, roughly about 1 year's wage. Now, how many of you would like to invest your 1 year wage in a perfume? I don't think so. I would. I mean, they reckon she must have been a quite a reasonably rich lady. I don't know. Maybe she has saved a lot of money. She was a poor lady. She had it. That was very special. The expert told us it was derived from a pure nard, which is an aromatic herb grown in the high pasture land of the Himalayas. So between, they say, India and Tibet. I haven't been there, so don't expect me to tell you what it is. But that's what I hear from the scholars. Apparently, just imagine, in those days they didn't have planes. Like cheap airlines, they didn't have it. So it would have taken ages from there to transfer through the caravan and to the desert and coming to the Palestine. So it was a very expensive stuff. And she was willing to give it to the Lord. I mean, I don't want to miss the point. The point is, it is not what you give money. The point is, she gives the most best that she had in her life. In other words, she gave her the best thing for the Lord and everything, including herself. So that's what the Lord wants us to do as well in our lives. She pours it out and wipes the Lord's feet. Now, you can imagine what happened there. When that happened, all the men said, "Oh, well, that's great." You think that would have happened? I don't think so. Probably all the guys said, "What are you doing? Why are you doing? This is a woman. And you couldn't do this." You know, in the early days, we were told, a woman's testimony is not even accepted. If you're a woman, they would say, "No, you couldn't say the right thing." In that condition, woman couldn't even come into the presence. Probably the man would have turned their face and said, "Oh no, this couldn't be right." Because that is culturally, it's out of culture. It is not a normal thing to do. So she came in and she wasn't worried about what men thought. Really, it's an amazing thing. Here we see the true love in action. Someone said, love is not love if it nicely calculates the cost. It gives its all, and its only regret is that it has not still more to give. I'll read it for you. Love is not love if it nicely calculates the cost. It gives its all, and its only regret is that it has not still more to give. It is amazing, isn't it? It was a self-sacrificing act of Mary. It was an act of love and self-sacrifice. She did not just think about it. Now, quite often, I think when we are in the pew, when we hear about the sermon, we think we need to do it for the Lord, right? Then we just go back at home, we forget, maybe 1 week, and we don't remember it, one month, we don't even think about it. But here is an act that is done in spontaneously. Sometimes it's a good thing. If the Lord is telling you doing something, go ahead and do it. And that is how Mary did it in for the Lord. And she did it right. And probably you heard about recently in Turkey, about last year, I think in April, there were three Christians were killed. One of them was a German missionary, two of them were the Turkish converts. In the morning they went, just like you and I go to work, and they were praying, and men broke in and tortured them and killed. Now after that, three of their wives gave the statement like this. They said, I thought it was very challenging to me as well. They said, the men died for the thing what they loved most. They gave themselves completely, poured out for Christ. So it was a challenge to me. And you know, I was in somewhere in San Jose, in Indian church, they were talking about so many Christians were burned to death in Orissa recently. No, it is real in our lives. So Lord expects us to live a life that reflects what we confess in our lives. So He expects us to give ourselves. Sometimes we don't think it happens to us, right? We don't think about it. But here is an act of love. It's self-sacrificing love. And we need to ask, how are we living in our lives? Not only that, this act is an act of humility. She came to the Lord with humility. Just imagine in their society, if a woman comes and she opens her hair, you know, let her hair loose. It was a bad thing to do. She was a bad woman. Now for me, she was an amazing, radical woman. We would have said she was a bad girl. I don't know what we would have said. She was a radical in a sense. And she was never worried about what the culture was all about. She was only worried about, and she was caught in the love with the Lord Jesus Christ. And quite often I tell you, you know, we have to be culturally context, that's a great thing. But when the culture does not let you serve God and takes you away from God, culture is no good. And I'm so thrilled when I see Mary's act. The men were not happy. Even the Lord's disciples were unhappy. I know we talk about Judas, but none of the other disciples said she did the right thing, right? It's an amazing thing. Even only that woman saw what significant, how precious the Lord Jesus was. And she was not constrained by the cultural context at all. And should we not be, as well, the same thing? We should not be, you know, quite often nowadays the theological world talk about the culture and all sort of things. It's a good thing to, you know, we need to identify, but we should have never let the idea of culture prevailing us. We should, as Christians, should set the standard, not the culture. So that's the point I wanted to make. So she wasn't worried about, she was in love with the Lord and she poured everything for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only did Mary pour out all her precious oil, but also herself. This is very important, dear friends. You know, I come from the East anyway. I see that people are very generous in the West. They give a lot. That's a great thing. But they don't really give time to the Lord. That is not what the Lord expects. Money is not Lord's interest. Quite often people mix up that idea. You know, if you give the money, it's fine. But Lord wants yourself. And He died for you, not for your money. And so it is important that in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we spend time with Him. We spend time with Him and do things that is relevant in our churches. Give time to the church. Church is the bride of Christ. We like it or not, it is the bride of Christ. And you couldn't live a life without giving time to the church and to your family. And spending time with the Lord is very essential thing in our Christian life. Mary held nothing back. What about you in your life? What is holding you back? What is the thing that is maybe some sin in your life? I don't know. But ask yourself, what is it holding you back to giving yourself completely and utterly to the Lord Jesus Christ? So it is essential in our life. If you are a Christian, it is costly to be a Christian in this world. Secondly, we see another point is basically the true love devotion spreads the fragrance of life. In verse 3, I read it for you, the later part. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. It is a little verse, isn't it? Interesting remark. It seems to be very small detail, but actually, John is making an important point here. He says the fragrance of this oil filled the room. Everyone present there was able to smell this sweet smell. What would have happened, you think? You know, somebody came around and said, "What was that smell? It's nice. It was nice, very expensive." Somebody would have said like this, "Oh, that Mary just broke her a very expensive thing, maybe stupid. And she did things and it's very nice smell anyway." And probably the other question would have been, "What do you think? Why did she do that?" "Oh, she gave it to the Lord." Then the question would have been, "Why did she give it to the Lord?" I mean, she probably would have thought she's the best person in the world. So that would have trickled their interest. I mean, they would have gone out and thinking, Mary either was mad or she was completely in adoration with the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is the important thing in our lives. As we come to worship, as we work in our places, that we have to have this fragrance, smell of this sweet fragrance of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. So if you are a Christian, and the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, he says, "Now thanks to be God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." So see, whether you like it or not, You are the fragrance of Christ. For some, you are a fragrance of life. For some, you are a fragrance of death. It's a frightening thing, isn't it? Some people don't acknowledge this. The non-Christians don't think that we are a fragrance of death. But it is true. Whether they like it or not, probably they don't know. But the others, those who come to know the Lord, those who are His people, we are the people who will declare who He is. The way that we talk, the way we address the issues, the way we deal the pressures of life. And the people look at us. And that brings many to ask the question, why are they doing like this? Then they begin to ask many other questions and find out, you are different. And you love the Lord. And your life is different. Your words are different. You are kind. You are patient. So it is essentially in our day, I believe, dear friends, we live a life that shows Christ. And not only that, we should be bold enough. I think your pastor is very bold in sharing with people, I believe. And we should be, I come from the East, you know, I have to tell people, we don't worry about it. We just tell everybody, you must be born again. Not like that, but something like that. You know, I say, we believe wholeheartedly, this is the best thing in my life. And why should we? A lot of insurance companies, you know, they sell all the things and they go around the doors and they sell insurance that we don't need. That's the best thing for us, right? But we have the best thing in our life. And why shouldn't we tell others what the Lord has done for us? And through her act, Mary's act, it spreads the fragrance of Christ. So true love, devotion to Christ is costly. It spreads the fragrance of Christ. Finally, it is appropriate. And I said, it's Christ deserves it. You know, Mary was doing here for the Lord, and it is appropriate. She wasn't doing it for herself, or she wasn't doing it for something she is going to benefit from it. The Lord deserves our wholehearted devotion, not just in part, but completely and fully. Quite often we compartmentalize our Christian life, you know, we give it to the Sunday to the Lord, the rest of the things of our things, but that is not the way the Lord wants us. It's completely and fully that we need to give our lives to Christ. That Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord has been a great friend of Martha and Mary and Lazarus. You know, they had a good relationship if you read it in the scripture. And Mary began to understand many things. You remember in chapter 10 and Luke chapter 10, Martha was working and she was at his feet. Now I believe there is a connection between here with listening and doing. There he was listening to she was listening to him. Now she was doing something very appropriate to the Lord. Now for me, for my surprise, you know, even the disciple didn't understand. Even though only Judas was saying, you know, things, you know, there are many people like Judas in our days, right? Whatever you do for the Lord, and they said you are wasted, and they were more interested in poor. And of course, John told us it wasn't so. He was a thief. He was quite often taking money out of his bag. That was his interest. He thought, man, we could have 300 denarii, and we could have 1 year wages in our pocket. I could have taken some 10%, maybe, or something like that. And here we have that she shows to the others Christ deserved these things. Even the disciple didn't understand what she was doing. And probably they were murmuring. They were saying, why is this woman is doing unwanted thing? Say what the Lord said. Jesus said, leave her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. The poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me. See, even the Lord has to tell this guy, hey guys, the you is, we were told, it's a plural. That's including not just Judas, that includes others, possibly his disciple. So he was basically telling him, leave her alone. You guys didn't understand. They were men, most of them were, right? They didn't understand. Here is a poor little woman. She understood the significance of what Jesus is about to do. And she poured that thing. What is one interesting thing is to notice when the ladies went to the tomb to anoint the Jesus body, and Mary wasn't there. She did it before it was too late, isn't it? It's good if you have good friends to do things before they die, you know. It's too late when they die, you go and say, I'm sorry, I didn't do these things. But in her action, that's why the expert told us she didn't go. She has already done it for the Lord and when he was alive, and she showed how much she appreciated him. And the Lord appreciated that as well. And so Christ deserved it. Think about it. Why should not we have a true love devotion to Christ? Did we ever told our Lord, come down on the earth and die for me, so remove my sin? No. And he loved us. And he gave himself for us, that we should have life abundantly. It is not just life. It is life in full. And such a God deserves our wholehearted devotion. Isn't it? And some of the ladies would have seen this advertisement. It's L'Oreal or something like that. You know, quite often they put this, we deserve it, or something like that. Oh, I deserve it. This kind of advertisement, psychological massage, you know. People, we all deserve it. We don't deserve anything. Really. We don't deserve anything. Only thing that one person deserves is Christ. And he has taken us from nowhere and made us fit for heaven. So she understood, and the Lord accepted it. And it was an amazing thing. Even the other people like Judas, even today, will criticize you. Something that you do for the Lord, I mean, for them it's an unwanted thing. But Lord sees these little things, and he is willing to accept these things, and he deserves our wholehearted attention, dear friends. So my prayer is to you that you will worship Christ in such a way that shows others the fragrance of life, and it draws men and women to Christ. And Christ deserves this, quite simply. May God bless you, and I hope you are being encouraged. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for your grace in our lives. Lord, we thank you for Mary. As you have said, even after 2,000 years, we are talking about her and her acts. And you have promised that. And we are so humbled the way that she simply showed us how precious you are to her. Lord, we help us today in our lives, that through our lives and through our actions, that we will also show others how precious you are to us. Give us courage, give us grace, give us joy in loving you and serving you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his name's sake. Amen. Amen.